Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
He's a man who's known for many things, most notably being the brand new correspondent for the Jason and John Show during the NBA playoffs. His name is Mike Miller. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
What up, dog?
What's going on? What's going on?
Everything is good. So you were in the building last night. How was the atmosphere? How was the environment for Game 4 last night?
It was awesome. I think, you know, just for all of us that, you know, I went to a couple of regular season games, just the difference in the regular season game compared to now is awesome. It's fun to have it back, the energy back in the building for sure.
So what have we learned? What have we learned since this series got back to Memphis?
I think, you know, the biggest thing is just control, being able to control their offense. You know, they right now, what they're really, really good at makes it difficult. They've built their roster well, obviously, very well. They always have consistently have four shooters on the floor. You're playing out of closeouts, chasing guys a lot, makes it difficult. Just got to find ways to muddy this game up. I think for us, you know, a lot of times we like to play faster with Ja and those guys, but it's going to have to find a way to muddy this thing up a little bit and keep this thing in the high 90s, low 100s, which is not the average basketball these days, but it might be the going back to the old grit and grind style.
You know, they're up against a ton, obviously, in Utah, especially the way they're shooting the ball. But did you think it would happen individually for Ja this fast? He's looked so comfortable. He's increased the scoring average, you know, 11, 12 points to 31 points per game. I think he's fourth, Mike, in the league in scoring in the playoffs. Did you think he'd be this comfortable this fast, this soon?
You never expect it, but he's such a special talent. I think the biggest thing for him is just having that, you know, he calls it go mode or whatever he calls it, but it's, to be honest with you, he needs to be on it a lot because he gets to every spot on the floor, and the more aggressive he is, the more it opens up everything else. And so he's just a special talent. I mean, you watched up last night, even when he's doing, like, he had a lefty layover Rudy underneath the hoop. You know, I think to answer your question, no one ever expects a guy in a second year, first time being in the playoffs, to come out and do what he's doing. But this is Ja Morant we're talking about, so yeah. Maybe it is expected.
You know, look, we're nitpicking here. I mean, because the guy has been, you know, since the play-in tournament, the dude has been absolutely brilliant. He did finally, mercifully, break your record with the Grizzlies. It was about damn time somebody did that around here. But look, I mean, if you look at the last, even since this series started, he's not shooting the ball well from deep, and that's not his game, right? That's never had to be his game. But you know, as somebody. That was your plied trade. That was how you sort of made your money in the NBA. You know, does that need to come? Can it come? And I guess I'm asking you, will you individually please work with him on it?
It will. First of all, it will come. You know, and right now he's, you know, it's steps to it. He's getting more and more comfortable doing it. He's making and taking enough of them right now to keep them honest, which is what it's all about. And people are starting to realize at the end of the day, like, you can't just beg him to shoot them because he will, one, but two, he then gets running starts at you. You know, you're playing him back at the free throw line. He gets that running start. He's so shifty, and his ability to get in the paint finishes at a high level, but it'll come. You know, I think you're seeing progression in it already. And obviously it's one of those things where as he continues to develop it, he has a good foundation for it. He's got to do a few things to it. He's going to end up being a high 30% three-point shooter. And when that does happen, it's going to be game, set, match.
Is that more confidence for him, Mike? You talked about reps and getting comfortable. We've heard some folks already in media, maybe they shouldn't weigh in on these things, but say he's got to change his shot. Do you see adjustments that need to be made, or you just see a guy that when he's confident, he'll shoot it better?
There's minor ones, but that's everything. I mean, I'm the first one to tell people there's always room for adjustments and improvements. You know, when I first got in the league and I was shooting, you know, high 30s, I one summer with my shooting coach, and at the time, first time I met him, you just got to buy in and believe. And, you know, it's the same as it doesn't matter how good you are at stuff, is when Tiger Woods went through his swing change. Like, you're always, if you're not trying to pivot and get better, you're not working. So I think there's minor changes he's got to do, nothing drastic. But then it just becomes repping and getting comfortable and confidence. I think, you know, buying in 100% to what he needs to do. But, you know, if he can get to where he's a 37, 38, 39% three-point shooter, you're talking about one of the best. You know, so, you know, that's just, he's got everything else handled right now. It's just continue to improve and work on those things.
Real quick, talking to Jason and John, playoff correspondent Mike Miller here on the show. You started at the bottom. You started with Brian Windhorst in the jump and Rachel Nichols, and you worked your way up to here. You know, so
Mama, I made it.
That's exactly right. You can let everybody know that you officially did make it. Look, you're a guy, you won two championships, you played in a lot of playoff games, so you know the intensity and how tough it can be. How frustrating do you think it is for these Grizzlies, who are clearly battling, given all they got, but Utah, and it seems like at the most timely moments too, like when you absolutely need to, the Utah Jazz, whether it's Clarkson, he hits a corner three, whether it's Royce O'Neal, he comes up with a rebound, dishes it out to Ingles or Bogdanovich for a three. How frustrating and demoralizing is it that the Jazz seem to have an answer for everything the Grizzlies do?
Well, it's frustrating, but that comes with experience too. You know, this Jazz team has, you know, it's been a team that's been together now for quite a bit, quite a while, a lot of games, playoff games last year with an unbelievable series between them and the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, that experience is huge. And so these guys have been there a little bit, done that. This is new for our guys. So it's gonna take those adjustments. But our team's playing, you know, listen, the Grizz are playing hard and playing great. You know, the thing about playoff basketball is it's a lot of times when you're in competitive playoff basketball, like what we find ourselves here with Memphis and Utah, is it becomes a 4-minute game. And there's sometimes just a difference between guys making plays and making shots and not. So that just comes with experience. But right now, you got to tip your hat to Utah. They're making plays, making shots towards the end of the games, and, you know, taking that 2-4-point lead to 7-9, and then it makes it tough.
As somebody who played the game, Mike, and as long as you did at that level, how hard is it? Explain to us civilians how hard it is to do what Dillon Brooks is doing in terms of expending that kind of energy on the defensive end, right? And here in the playoffs, it's 25.5 points. He's over 51% shooting, almost 52. To be able to do it both ways like that and the energy that it takes to do that, it feels like it's special, like he's becoming one of the best two-way players in the league.
Yeah, he's been incredible. You know, he's really taken his game to another level. You know, he's always been the dude who's kind of a goon and competes and wants that action, and that's the stuff that a lot of people, especially in this city, respect and enjoy about his game. But now he's doing it on a stage where he's going against Donovan Mitchell. He's making him work. You know, I think defense to me is about making the other guy work, keep him mostly volume, keep him off the line. He's done a really, really good job of that. But on the other flip side, on the other end, he's been efficient. And I think that's the biggest thing for him. And more efficient he can be offensively, taking the shots that he wants, that he can getting to spots on his floor, and ultimately taking, like I said, the shots that he wants and be more efficient. That's what really has impressed me with not only the play-in, but this playoffs, is how well – we always knew he was going to compete and be a dog on the defensive end. But he's being efficiently offensively, and that's really, really helped the cause. And I see that thing continue to grow.
A couple more things on the Grizzlies before we get your opinion on your man LeBron. What do you see when you watch Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Really a guy trying to figure it out. You know, he has all the tools, you know, he's got all the skill set. But, you know, in his defense, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he has, you know, he's trying to fit in because he hadn't played much. He's been injured. You know, obviously he's way better when he wants to be in the paint and around the rim and then work himself out. He's that stretch four that everyone likes to have right now, but you also just can't live and die with that. So he's starting to figure that out. It's you know, when you've – this is what, his third year?
Yes. I mean, and, third year, and he didn't
third year,
play
he probably
for –
played 1 year of season. He probably played
exactly.
1 year collectively.
Exactly.
So you're a guy who's trying to figure it out, you know, and this the way the game is going right now, it's sexy and cool to be shooting threes, but when he gets in that mud and he really grinds it out and rebounds and becomes a physical presence in there and a shot blocker, that's where he becomes special. Those are the guys that now, okay, I can make threes, but I can also dominate the paint offensively and defensively. But he's fitting in. He's trying to find his niche because he doesn't want to screw things up. You know what I mean? That's just comes along with playing and experience and doing those things. And unfortunately, injuries have slowed that process a little bit. But he's got all the talent you need. Now you just got to go out there and put it together.
Is this Utah team in your mind, Mike, in your mind, the favorite right now? Or is that still reserved for LeBron and the Lakers?
I'm still going Lake Show. I will say this. Utah, like I said at the beginning of this, Utah has done a really good job of building their roster. Mm-hmm. And, it's one of those things where they always have four shooters on the floor, and then you have a rim runner, rim protector, and Favors or Gobert. They start everything off with a pick and roll, and yep. Mike Conley and Gobert are really, really good in it. And then it just becomes where you're chasing guys, and it seems like every possession it's a swing or a paint touch spray to a 38% 3-point shooter. And it really reminds me a little bit of when we used to play San Antonio. It feels like you're always chasing ghosts. And so, you know, they have that ability. Now, I got to see them do it at the highest of levels. They have the 3-point shooters, the capability to do it. But their biggest challenge when you play guys like the Lakers, or if it gets to that, of playing a type of team like the Lakers, is being able to sit down and guard. And can they do that on the other end? I think that's the one thing that Memphis has really got to do now, is make these guys guard on one end, muddy this game up a little bit. And if you see it, like the Lakers right now, I mean, obviously AD out right. And LeBron playing, these games aren't 125 to 1. You know what I mean? Like
they've been really low scoring.
They're really mucking the game up and making a possession game, and they believe that in a possession game, the ball in LeBron or AD's hand, they're going to make plays and make things happen. So I think that's really what Memphis has got to do here. I think a track meet in a 3-point shooting contest. I mean, listen, Utah shot 50% from three last night, mm-hmm. and we shot 28. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have a hard time winning those games, especially when you're shooting the same volume, right? So it's going to have to find a way to really, I think, mucky this thing up and muddy it up and turn really grit and grind again.
Who was the team you hated to see? In the play, was it the Spurs? Was that the team you hated to see?
Chasing ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, San Antonio was tough, man. I mean, you had Hall of Famers all over the floor, but their system and their culture, and you couldn't break them. You know, I mean, a lot of teams you can break. For when we were playing the Heat, anyways, we could really break. Indiana was tough because that was a tough series. Boston, we played some good series, man. Like, Boston was high level, but just the way that San Antonio played, it always felt like they put pressure on you offensively. And that's, you know, to me, that's, you know, kind of what Utah's doing to Memphis right now. They're putting pressure on us. And you said the word here earlier, demoralizing when every time you're guarding somebody or you're chasing somebody and they're swinging, it's Bogdanovic for three, or Clarkson for three, or Mike Conley and they're wide open threes. Those are tough to defend, and it's hard. So you just got to find a way to really slow this thing up.
I'm starting to wonder about your man LeBron's eye for talent, because I think it's obvious to everybody else on planet Earth that Marc Gasol should be starting.
So what's that have to do with LeBron's eye for talent?
Well, is he not the coach and general manager? I mean, does he not make those decisions?
No.
Oh, okay, okay. Now he doesn't make those calls. Okay, so LeBron can't go to Frank and say, "Hey, I need to start. We need to start Mark." And Frank's not going to say, "All right, you got it, big fella. Come on."
Who are you going to start him in front of?
Drummond.
No, but I'm saying, but you're going to still play Drummond minutes anyway.
That's fine, but I
want to play.
But Mark needs to be playing more minutes, and especially at the beginning of games.
Oh,
in my opinion.
I don't disagree with that. But you got to understand now, there's a shuffle in there, and when the Lakers were winning against Phoenix, it was Drummond average, you know, getting 14 and 12 in the first half. So it's a mix of things. And with Anthony Davis being out now, yes, I think the Marc Gasol thing. Listen, I'm a huge fan of Marc Gasol. I think the minutes need to go up because he's more of that stretch guy, right? Like it's like I said, in the playoff basketball and coaching in the playoffs is all about the adjustments you make in game and between games. And so if Coach Vogel, I agree. I think he should play more minutes, especially with AD being out, because you need that stretch. But don't get it twisted. Now, they are beating Phoenix up in the paint when they need to as well. Offensive rebounds. If the Lakers make shots, look at their stat lines across the board. When they're not making shots, it's a struggle. And their other guys right now aren't making shots. When they do, it's going to be game, set, match.
Chris Paul is such a difference maker in that series, too. I mean, the old vet, man. And I guess he's, whatever he took, the magic potion or whatever, that shoulder looked good in his last one. Do you expect that to go six, seven? Seven?
I do. Okay. I do. I think there's too much competitiveness there. And again, that's very similar. It's very similar to the Utahs. One of the reasons they're 1-2 in the West. Obviously, injuries for other teams made that possible a little bit. But they're both very similar in the fact that the pick and roll with Conley and Gobert is very similar to the pick and roll between DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul. Chris Paul lives in the paint. He makes all the right plays. And now he's spraying to Booker and to Bridges and the really high-level three-point shooters. And James Jones, who I play with, obviously, really values that type of basketball and has built his team that way. And it really does put a lot of pressure on you, and it becomes a miss-or-make league. And so, both those guys, Mike Conley and Chris Paul, are both really strategic in the way they play in the pick-and-roll. They're not always fast. They're not always slow. They change speeds. They change paces. They get in the paint. And they really collapse the defense and make it really, really difficult. So, it's going to be a fun series to watch.
So, last thing, we know you will follow LeBron James into the abyss. So, we know you've got them coming out of the West. So, and I can only assume, knowing you, that you also believe that Brooklyn will be coming out of the East, if that is indeed the case. Are you still rolling with, as you call it, the Lake Show?
I'll be honest. I think right now I like Brooklyn.
Hey.
I do. I like Brooklyn. The biggest thing, I'm really intrigued with what that Brooklyn Milwaukee series looks like, because you're talking about just some goon defensive wings with Milwaukee, how they defend Brooklyn. I know Brooklyn's going to win that. I tell you, the other one is that Philadelphia. Obviously, they let one last night with Embiid getting hurt. If he stays healthy, that's an interesting one too. I mean, Ben Simmons is going to have to score the ball because I know how the game plan that. But the East is going to be fun, and so is the West. It's going to be interesting. But I do think Brooklyn wins it.
Mike, real quick, just because you've played, and I keep hearing from vets that this has been going on forever. I want to know what we do to stop it. These fans who either throw something at a player, pour something on a player, or say racist and sexist things to that player's family. How do we stop it? Is it on fans to police this themselves? NBA got to step in. What's got to happen?
I mean, we try to step in as much as possible. It's always happened. But it's no different than anything in life, right? It's always one or two bad apples. It's not the fans of a whole, right? It's no different than when you were in eighth grade and there's one kid that was a class, John Martin was a class clown, right?
No doubt.
He was the one that you just always caused problems for everybody else. But it really is that. I mean, it's literally the life we live in right now. And unfortunately it happens, but it doesn't mean it's the masses. 99.9% of fans are unbelievable. It's why we have the ability to play NFL football games, MLB baseball games, NBA, and have the atmosphere that we had last night. So, obviously we got to police it all the way around. I think it's everyone's responsibility. Fans that are in the building, obviously don't take it in your own hands, but everybody that's around, just continue to just understand and respect what's going on.
This went pretty well. We'll have our people call your people. Maybe we can have you back on in the future.
Thank you for this, man.
If we get in a tight spot.
Hey, Jason, call me anytime you need me on here.
I appreciate it, brother.
If we ever get one on.
Mike, thanks, brother.
Every your individual show, call me.
Hey, man.
We'll
make that happen. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, he is Mike Miller, obviously former Memphis Grizzly, two-time NBA champion, and like we said, Jason and John, playoff correspondent here on the show. Always do appreciate his time. We'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.